Welcome back to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're going to talk about a topic that I actually don't really enjoy talking about that much.
What could that be? Furniture shopping? Paint colors? No.
It's about mindset. And let me tell you why
yes,
I don't
least
like
favorite,
talking about
least favorite topic for you.
The reason why I don't, I think it's useful. I think it's useful, don't get me wrong. But the reason why I don't like talking about it is because I don't always think it's necessarily directly actionable. Would you agree with that or no?
Well, give me a little more information on that. What do you mean directly actionable?
Well, I've actually never really had major problems with mindset. So maybe it's just because I can't relate as well. But it's not like, oh, okay, I have this information. I can take it now and I can just do something about it and implement it.
You say that, but yet we do a lot of coaching calls for people that join the course. And I used to do coaching before back in the day. And I can probably count on one hand the people that I have had a conversation with whose problem was technical or logistical versus everybody's problem is mindset. Nobody's problem to getting started is ever a technical problem. It's always a mindset problem.
That might be more true. I mean, I agree with you, first of all.
Yeah.
But I think it's less frequent in my other class when sometimes I get a call and like, oh, I can't even set this up. Can you help me set this up? Or like, what is the high level strategy that I need to take to do something?
Okay.
But yes. All right. Well, what's your view on this mindset for yourself personally?
I think I probably was more in the Steve Chu camp back a couple years ago. But I think recently I've come to view it as much more important in moving forward with your business. And I don't know if that's because of all the conversations I've had with other people. I don't know if it's from my own life experiences. I'm not sure where the shift came for me. Maybe it's because I've seen people who've had a mindset shift and gone from a mediocre or even I would say not successful business to wildly successful, and they didn't really change anything strategically. It was all changing their perspective and their own confidence. And so I guess I've become a way bigger believer in it because, I mean, you and I both have the opinion that when things get tough, put your head down and work harder.
Right. And for me, the problem has always been what to do as opposed to, oh, I got to be in the right frame of mind to do it. But like you, I've recognized that it's actually very important because whenever we have a coaching call, we end up spending a lot of time overcoming, I would say, like these hidden obstacles, these hidden mental obstacles, because mm-hmm. everyone's capable.
Right.
That we have on our calls. It's just that you have to push them in the right direction to even have the courage to do something.
Yeah, I agree.
So on that note, let's talk about mindset.
Okay.
I don't know where you want to start with this.
I'll let you get it. I'll let you kick it off since you're the anti-mindset.
Okay. So here's one thing. So what's funny is that even though someone signed up for our class, sometimes we still have to convince people that it's going to work and that their current path is probably not the right one, like with their job or whether they even believe that starting a business can possibly make them more money than their job.
Right. And this is I think my first obstacle is that I actually believe that some people should just stay in their job. I don't think everybody's cut out to take an entrepreneurial path. I definitely think you have to have the right, I don't know, composition to do this because it's not easy all the time. And I think some people just are well suited to work for other people. I don't think that everybody is cut out to work for themselves for a variety of reasons. But I would assume that once you've taken the plunge to move forward with something, then maybe you've already gotten past that first point, the first hurdle.
So are you saying that you're just like born one day and say, oh, this isn't cut out for you? Or
yeah, absolutely. I do.
Really?
I think there are people that are born to work for other people. And I don't think that's a bad thing in any way. And if it weren't for those types of people, the very successful entrepreneurs would not be where they were today for the most part. Because most entrepreneurs, you're a rare exception to this because you really have only had yourself and your businesses. You haven't had a team. But most of the time when you talk to people who've built successful businesses, they have this right-hand person who has basically become their go-to And without that person, they probably wouldn't have achieved that level of success today. But that person is never going to go out on their own and do their own thing.
I guess I'd have to think about that. I mean, some people might not like it as much, but being not cut out for something is a different story. That implies that you can't do it.
I believe that.
Oh, that you can't do it or not physically capable of doing it.
Okay. Are you going to get into semantics? Like,
well, no, that's not a semantic. I think everyone can do it.
I don't think everybody can.
Whether they really like doing it or want to be doing it is a different story.
Well, here's the thing. If you don't want to be an entrepreneur, you can't be an entrepreneur. Okay. There's just, you can't, because you can't throw yourself over the hurdles of entrepreneurship if that's not something you want to do.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. There's a number of people that come to me and they say, hey, I just want to make like $1,000 a month. I don't expect this to replace my day job salary or anything like that. But, you know, I just want some spending cash. And when I hear that, I'm always thinking to myself, and it took me a long time to realize this, is that working your job is probably not going to make you life-changing money, but your business has that potential and you're just aiming really low.
So you think the people that say, hey, I just want, you know, vacation money are just not setting the bar high enough?
Well, you know, maybe in the beginning, that's like when I started the blog, my goal was to have it pay the mortgage.
Yeah.
Right. But then it always balloons after that. So it does take a while to believe that what you're doing can actually lead to a lot of money. And I would argue that no matter, I would say for 90% of the day jobs out there, the job is not going to make you the money. It's the business that's going to make you the money.
Absolutely. But I just think there's a group of people out there that are very happy to work a 9-to-5, to have that path set in front of them. And they don't feel the need to do anything else. And I think we need people like that in this world. I don't think that's a bad quality in any way.
I agree with you. But then those people aren't listening to this podcast, are they?
Yes, they aren't. And there are days that I would like to be one of those people. Because you and I have both had days where we get up and we look at the list of projects that we have. And to me, I just want someone to tell me what to do. And we've had this conversation, you and I both, to each other.
I've tried. You don't listen.
Yeah. But you've had days where you're like, just tell me what you need me to work on. And I've had days where I'm like, I'm not feeling creative. I'm not feeling inspired. Tell me what needs to be done and I will knock it out. But I'm not in the mindset to create something amazing today. I just need to be told the next step. And I think... So there are days for me where I think I would love to just go into an office and have an agenda set out for me. Now, those are very rare days, which is why I don't work in an office. But I think you still have those.
You've never really had a real job either.
I haven't. Right? But let's do we
my
have to
job was not like that. My job, I had to go in. And I actually had to go, oh, crud, how am I going to do this?
But I think in any job, the job can kind of dictate your day.
It can if your day is just full of meetings. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
Yeah, sorry.
We're getting sidetracked here. Yes, I agree with you.
But you'll never partially. You chances are, unless you're working for a startup or, you know, you're going to be a partner in a law firm or own a hospital system, you're not going to make life-changing money at a 9-to-5.
Yeah, and I'm just going to give you an idea. Like, I used to get 3-5% raises every year, right?
And then I don't even know if that's good or bad because I've never had a real job, so I don't know.
I mean, 1 year... Because I asked for a raise, I think I got like a 20% raise. But I had to threaten to leave to get that.
That's a big raise, though.
It is. But that shows how much, like I did all my homework. I was getting underpaid. And if I hadn't voiced that, I wouldn't have gotten that raise.
Yeah.
That's what pisses me off, actually. But that's a side story. Let's get back on track.
Okay.
Meanwhile, with my blog, it pretty much doubled in revenue every single year since 2012. It hasn't doubled recently, of course, but up until from 2012 to 2017, it was literally doubling every single year. You can't get that growth at a day job.
No, absolutely not.
You did work for a little bit, didn't you?
Did I?
You did. Wasn't your savings job?
I did consulting.
Okay.
But I still had my other, I mean, that was just an extension of my other businesses, so.
Okay. The other major hurdle that I encounter with our coaching calls is the idea of safety.
Mm-hmm.
So what is safety to you? What's safer to you? Your consulting job? That was pretty safe, was it? Wasn't it or no?
No, because I always thought I was going to get fired.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I mean, I never did anything. I always performed above expectations, but I lived in fear that I would get fired.
Really?
All the time. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe that comes from never having a job before. I don't know.
Like, usually I would say that working your job is not safer. I was pretty cocky at my job, though. Mainly because I was one of the three people on the main product. And if they fired me, that would have left a huge void. But I did realize how fragile it was for some of the people who'd started after me, who didn't have, I guess, as big of a role in the main product. I remember a friend of mine, this is during like the dot-com bust.
Yeah.
A lot of people listening to this might not be old enough for, I don't know, what world. And I remember just talking to this woman, a friend of mine, and she had just started putting both of her kids into private school. And here, that's like $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
For two kids. And then she, all of a sudden we had a layoff, kind of out of the blue. I didn't even know it was happening. I guess I wasn't in the know. And then she lost her job. And what's she going to do? Pull her kids out of private school?
Yeah.
I think she did, but still. Well, I mean, it's a
either
hard...
that or eat.
Exactly.
You have to make a decision.
Exactly. So yeah, here's...
I think the perception is that a 9-to-5 is safer than an entrepreneurial business, but I don't think that's true in any way.
Well, here's why it's not. I mean, on the surface, it might think that you might think that it's pretty steady, but the problem with the job is that at the snap of someone's finger, you can lose your job. Whereas with your business, you're never going to lose it overnight. It might take a while for you to lose it, like if things are going bad.
Well, not only with the job, with the snap of somebody's finger, but there's a lot of factors outside of your control. So let's just say you work at the Gap, right? You're a manager at the Gap, and the economy tanks and ships can't get to port. There's no inventory for Gap, and you make a paycheck plus commission. And so the Gap has to start laying off managers because the sales are slumped. There's nothing you can do as the manager of the Gap to keep your job. Whereas if you owned your own business, you could pivot and find something to do with the business that you've built to continue to generate income or revenue. Whereas in a 9-to-5, you don't usually have the control to make the changes to keep your job.
Yes. Actually, a perfect example of this is COVID, right? Like if you worked in like the tourism industry, you were pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
We were actually kind of screwed too. I mean, we're in the wedding industry. No one was getting married during that time.
Right. But you pivoted.
We pivoted to masks. And that actually turned out to be a really good thing. So these are things you can do in your own business. Whereas if I worked as a wedding planner or for a corporation or something, I'd
If you worked for a catering company, you'd
catering
be out of
company.
A job.
Yes, that's correct. That's a better
You'd example. Be totally. And there'd be nothing you couldn't affect what the company's doing. Whereas if you owned the catering company, you could start, you know, maybe doing meal prep, meal delivery, right? Like you could pivot and change your business model during COVID to continue to maintain revenue and keep your business afloat until things got back to normal. But if you're just one of the waiters, right, or one of the food prep people, you don't have any ability to pivot.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this was a big mindset hurdle for me to overcome, actually, because my job was pretty stable. Like I was there for 17 years. It doesn't get more stable than that, right?
Yeah.
Here's the other mindset issue that I often have when doing a coaching call. Like people just don't believe that they can make any money at all.
Yeah.
Like starting is the hardest part, right?
Yeah.
And I can't remember what you tell people. Like you're really good at this part of it. do you?
I don't know. It always comes in the moment. I don't know.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah. But I think you're good at this too, though, because, you know, when we launched the course, I was nervous about no one signing up and what happens if we can't sell anything. And, you know, you were kind of like, then we just keep going. Eventually people are going to buy it. We know the material's good. And so I think people, the fear is definitely in getting started and taking the risk and being a failure. And I think it all comes back to not having confidence in yourself, because really when you start your own business, you're really selling yourself. No matter what you're doing, you're selling your skill set, your idea, your talent, whatever it is what you're doing when you start a business. And most people don't believe in themselves.
Actually, what did I tell you? Did I really say that?
You said, I don't remember what you said, but you were like, we're going to sell the course. I think it was just like, quit complaining.
Oh, okay.
Grow up. No.
I didn't say like, oh my God, if this doesn't sell this, then we're like, it's over. Like we shouldn't be in this business.
No, you said it's going to sell. And if it doesn't sell right now, it'll sell eventually.
What's funny about it is I'm actually working with my tennis coach and he has this one product where he's like giving it away. I'm trying to convince him to double or even triple his prices. And there's so much pushback because he doesn't think that it's worth that. And I'm like, it's totally worth that. But he's discounting his time.
Here's the thing that I've realized, because I've taken a decent amount of online courses and I have access to some that I haven't taken, but I have access to the dashboard. Most of the courses are decent quality. It's all about how the course creator markets themselves. There's people out there that are killing it, and their stuff isn't any better than the people that are, their stuff is not killing it. The only difference is the person that's doing better has a air about them that just is like blasting confidence, authority, even if they don't have it all. Like, they're still conveying that, and not in a puffed up way, but you want to jump on the train because you believe in them and their confidence is shining through. Whereas people who've probably created just as good of a product or just as good of a course, if they don't convey that to you, then you're less likely to buy from them. So it all starts with really believing in yourself, which is where the whole mindset thing comes in.
Interesting. It's interesting that you say that, because I feel like I actually don't project confidence when I sell my course, because I just want to give them a realistic view. I tell them, hey, you know, like, if you work hard, you can make this work, but I wouldn't expect anything until like after a year. I just set the right expectations.
So I think what you lack, and I don't think you lack confidence. I think you're not quite as, like, you're not a hype man.
Yes,
but
I'm
think
definitely
what,
not a hype man.
What you lack in that, you make up for in like the breadth of knowledge, is that when people come to like a webinar or they go through the mini course, I mean, I talk about this all the time. I went through your mini course, and that was the reason why I wanted in your full course, was because I thought, well, if you're giving this amount of information away, I can't imagine the amount of information that's actually available to me if I pay. So you flood people with information, which is then basically building their confidence in you.
Right. Yeah. The information aspect of it. But like, if someone asked me point blank, can I quit my job in like 2 months or 3 months? There's other people that say that. I can't say that in good conscience.
No, I've seen people ask you that. And I've seen other people say that you can. And
yeah,
that I don't personally think that's a great idea.
Here's why. Like, when it comes to mindset, like, you have to set the proper expectations. Otherwise, someone's going to quit. So for example, if I told someone that they're going to quit their jobs in 3 months, and then 3 months pass and it doesn't happen.
Right.
They're like probably 5 times more likely to quit.
Yeah.
Whereas if you say, hey, it's going to take a couple years.
Yeah.
You know, they're much more likely to stick with it in the long run. I mean, this class that we teach on audience building, that's like the perfect example. It's very rare that someone could get something up in 3 to 6 months that makes a lot of money.
The problem comes in that there's these creators out there that get on TikTok or get on Instagram and go viral, and then immediately create a course, and there's no longevity in that.
Right.
So, but then they get people on, you know, this false expectation that, oh, I'm going to be able to create 5 TikToks and be a sensation and quit my job. And, you know, and really reality is they got lucky, or they have something so unique. There are creators out there that are just so unique and fascinating that they were bound to probably be successful. But those people were probably going to be overnight successes no matter what they did, because they had that like very, very different skill set than a lot of other people.
Or they just had something in their experiences that would propel them, right?
Yeah.
So if they were already kind of famous for something else and then they started this, but that's rare, I would say.
Yeah.
Very rare.
Yeah. But I think you have to think about starting a business. Most people do not graduate from high school or graduate from college or tech school or wherever you go and start a job making life-changing money. And most of the time when you get a job at 20, 22, you're making just enough money to pay your bills. And, you know, you probably still have a roommate or, you know.
I had a roommate for many years.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think people don't transfer that information into starting a business. They think, oh, I'm going to start a business and I'm going to make all this money. Whereas you didn't start your day job and make all this money. You probably have worked there for 5 or 10 years, or you've moved up into other positions at other companies, and now you're making a nice amount of money, but you didn't start at that point. So I think when you build a business, you have to think about it the same way. It's going to take time to build up experience, expertise, an audience, whatever you're doing, to be able to make a good amount of money, it's not going to just happen overnight for you. Just like it didn't happen overnight that you could pay all your bills without a roommate.
Here's the other thing I'm always dealing with. People telling me that there's not enough time for them to work on their business. And well, no, I mean, it's valid actually a lot of times because some of these people I talk with literally have three jobs.
Yes. Right?
And so they're exhausted by the time they get home. So they can't, you know, they don't have enough mind share left to do anything.
Yeah.
So what I have to be careful whenever I talk to someone like this, but I actually encourage them to maybe quit one of the three jobs and then spend mm-hmm. that time working on the business. Cause it does, you have to think in the longer term.
Yeah.
I mean, we're all, you know, this is what I hate about, I don't want to get on my soapbox here, but everything.
Get on the soapbox. Get
everything
on
that is popular today is all about the short term.
Yep.
Everything. Social media, it's all about quick wins, quick hits, dopamine, like this, whatever. And no one thinks like many years out. And that's the way you kind of, it's like investing. You have to kind of think in the long term. So maybe that third job is giving you some extra spending cash so you can do some fun things. But you should devote that time to something that could become a lot bigger in, you know, 2 to 3 years maybe.
Yeah. Well, and I think too, and I know there are people that have extenuating circumstances, so I'm not going to address that. But chances are, if you're working three jobs, you probably need to figure out a way to cut your expenses.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's difficult though.
Is it though? I think it's difficult because people aren't willing to do it. I don't think it's difficult because it's difficult.
Sure.
I mean, I did it.
Is it more difficult to cut expenses or more difficult to set aside some time to work on a business?
Well, I think if you have to work three jobs to pay your bills, then you need to cut your bills. Get rid of your expensive car, get rid of, you know, move to a lower priced house or apartment,
right.
Get a roommate, you know, stop going and getting Uber Eats every night. I have older kids, right, that are in their 20s. And I swear to you, none of them or their friends ever cook anything. All they do is DoorDash and Uber Eats. And I'm thinking, if you just decided, I mean, look at you, Mr. Hot Pocket, right? I mean, my kids talk about how they had to eat bean burritos for a year, right, when I was trying to pay off student loans. So, I mean, it's possible to save a lot of money if you want to save a lot of money. I mean, and I'm not against, I mean, I DoorDashed last night, so I'm not criticizing that. But I think if you really want to change your life, then you've got to change your life. You can't continue doing the same stuff and expect a different result. You have to make some serious changes.
If you want to change your life, hang out with cheap people.
Yeah. Come be friends with us and eat off the McDonald's dollar menu.
Sometimes my friends and I, just kind of as a joke, we brag about how much we saved by doing this ridiculous thing to save. Like, I don't know, like we drove across town. I mean, this is just for fun. Obviously, we don't need to do this, but it becomes kind of like a contest sometimes.
Yeah.
So if you hang out with other frugal people or other people who are doing what you want to be doing, that always helps.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I think everybody has time to start their own business. I think about, you know, our guest on Office Hours last week. We had Jamariel Stewart on Office Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Who runs Large Family Table. She has 9 children, which is a lot of kids.
She homeschools.
She homeschools. She always has a baby. I mean, that's how you get 9 kids. So, and she's running a highly successful website, digital products, e-commerce store, YouTube channel, TikTok. She's the sole breadwinner for her family. So don't tell me you don't have time. When I know lots of people like her that make time. And I think about you and Jen. And you both had full-time jobs when you started Bumblebee Linens. You worked on it after work every day in your house. You know, you built My Wife Quit Her Job while you still had your full-time job and Bumblebee Linens. And then you built the course while you had your full-time job and Bumblebee Linens and My Wife Quit Her Job. You know what I mean? So it's like, there's time.
You have to want it though. But how do you teach someone to want it? Mindset.
I don't think you do. I think you either want it. That's my back to my whole point in the beginning. You want it or you don't. And I don't ever want to be in a position where I tell somebody that they want it.
Well, here's the thing. People often want it, but they don't want to do the work. So
then they don't want it.
Then they don't want it.
Mm-mm. It's like when I was a kid, I did not have a lot of money growing up, and I wanted a 10-speed bike because I rode my bike to school every day, and I was on like a BMX style bike, and that was great when you were like in the second grade. But then I think I was in the fourth grade, and I wanted a Huffy or whatever, or a Schwinn. I don't know, some 10-speed bike. And I saved every penny that I had, and every bit of birthday money, and like we didn't get a lot of money for, like, I don't come from one of these families that like everyone gives you money for your birthday. And I saved for like 6 months to buy this bicycle. And then I had enough money. Like it was like, I remember it was like $104 was the bike. And I saved $104 to buy this bike. And then a couple, and it was so, like, one, it was super fulfilling to buy the bike because I had worked so hard for that money. And then a couple years later, my best friend and I wanted to go to summer camp, and neither of our families had the money. So we literally went to like the convenience store and bought snacks at the convenience store and then sold them door to door to make money. Now, I don't recommend this nowadays, you know, in 2021, but back in 1984, it was fine. We sold like Otis Spunkmeyer cookies door to door and made enough money for both of us to go to church camp because we wanted to go so badly. And so I think if you want it, you're going to do what it takes. And I'm not, you know me, me knocking on people's doors is not my personality at all.
But I can see you doing it for some reason.
Right, because I'm a hustler. It's like whenever I started in e-commerce and I had that Black Friday fiasco where we ran out of inventory at Amazon, but I had inventory at my house and I switched to Merchant Fulfilled. And
I love that.
We shipped out 1,000 packages on Black Friday. And I had to buy, I was buying printers like as the day was going on because I was breaking printers and I didn't know how to print label. I'd never shipped anything before. I think if you want something badly enough, you're going to do what it takes. And so if you're at the point where we have to convince you you want something, you don't want it bad enough.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I guess when we have our consult calls, though, they might not admit that they don't want it. But whenever I hear excuses,
yeah,
like silly excuses, I guess the most common one is like, really, I have to buy a tool to help. Can I just do it without the tool?
Yeah.
But the tool is like $20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put down the Chipotle and buy the tool.
I mean, I spent $5.50 on a gallon of gas the other day.
Oh my goodness. So, yeah. Ours is like $3.30 right now. So
man, I would
But it was like $100 to fill up the Suburban.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, you have a large car. I might have to go EV after this. I mean, if this continues.
Yeah.
Because I'm like looking at my bike now. I'm going, huh, maybe I can fire this baby back up.
I can ride my bike everywhere. Or get like, a little basket for the front.
Or I'm looking at my kids going, huh, you know, school isn't that far away. Maybe they could just bike there.
It's only 4 miles, kids. Let's go. But no, I do think people, and I think excuses are a great way to cover up fear.
Huh. Okay.
I think there are valid excuses. And I think I could have easily said on that Black Friday, listen, I don't know how to ship. I don't have the tools. I don't have the right printer. And I could have just let my sales. I could have just not had the sales. And it would have been valid. All those things were true. But that's not what I wanted to do. I wanted to make money.
There's no way in hell you would have.
But all those mitigating factors were problematic. They were problems for me. But I overcame them. And so I think for most people, the excuses are valid. Yeah, you're tired. Yeah, you work a lot. Yeah, you have kids. Yeah, you have extra, you know, obligations. But most people that you and I interact with aren't in such a situation that there have been a few people that I have talked to in my, you know, 10 or 11 years of doing this where I've said, you know what? I don't think this is the right time for you. You know, you have 2-month-old twins, you know, like and a 2-year-old. Like, there's been that, right, where I'm like, you know, this is not your time. This is not your time to be doing this thing. But for most people, it's just about shifting the priorities and deciding what you want more. And do you want to look long term and look at the long term gains of building your own business? Or do you want to live in the short term and have a little bit of an easier life right now?
Here's what kills me. It's so cheap.
Yes.
I mean, for me, it was always the, like, I told you before, like, we were thinking about opening a Kumon's. There was this other like meal prep place we were thinking about franchising, and all those businesses would have cost $500,000.
Yeah.
Whereas like starting a website, easily under $100.
Yeah.
Right. So even if you, like, I've never really told anyone that it wasn't the right time to do something before. I don't think I have. Mainly because it's so cheap. I mean, the hardest part is laying that first foundation. Like, I didn't actually start writing until my website was up. But once the website was up, I was like, okay, well, at least it's easy now. I can just go in and start writing.
Yeah.
And even if you don't, even if you aren't fully consistent about it in the beginning, like, just starting something usually leads to some amount of inertia to follow through.
Right. I agree.
But yeah, I mean, it's so cheap. Like, it's not even gambling at that point. It's not like you're going to a casino. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I still hear people that are setting up brick and mortars, and I'm like, like that's such a risk, because you've got to, like, there was this burger place that I used to go to that was down the road from my house, and it was like, they had great food. There was an interesting menu, but this guy, the owner, he just, like, every time we would chat with him, I would get more and more concerned for his business because his costs were so high, right? The risk, you know, and he was telling us about the lease that he had to sign and the amount of rent he had to pay. And I'm trying to do the math, and I don't know what the margins are in restaurants, but I'm doing the math thinking there's no way you're profitable. And how long can you sustain being, you know, in the red before you can't be in business anymore? And he's not in business anymore.
Oh.
So, no, like, it just, because he kept trying to do things at the restaurant that were cool, but at some point, you know, the math doesn't work out.
I mean, when I started My Wife Quit Her Job, I literally invested less than $10, and I could run that forever.
Yeah.
With Bumblebee Linens, I remember it was $80 a month for the longest time, and I could run that forever.
But you did have inventory costs.
Correct. But if we just had inventory and then we just need to sell it off, I could have just not bought inventory anymore.
Right.
And kept the website up forever.
Yeah.
Basically. I mean, those are the businesses I love. I mean, think about what you can do with less than like a couple thousand bucks. I mean, you can start a blog, you can do drop shipping, you can sell on Amazon, you can sell in your own store, you can do YouTube, that's free. I mean, you have a phone.
Yeah.
You can do a podcast, really all you need is a phone and a mic. I mean, there's so TikTok, all you need is your phone. I mean, so many things you can do.
Yeah.
It's really just getting over your mindset issues and just starting and believing, really.
Yeah, you got to believe in yourself.
But how do you believe in yourself? Like, for me, it's actually seeing someone I know and actually spoken to succeeding, right? This is why I feel like it's always important to make new friends.
Okay, back it up.
Back it up. Okay.
Back the truck. So you seeing other people succeed gives you confidence in yourself.
Yes.
Explain.
Well, if that person can, so here's my mindset.
Like, you're like, that guy's so dumb. If he can do it,
I'm not kidding. That's what I think. I mean, I don't think the dumb part, but I'm thinking, like, if this guy can do it, like, why can't I do it? Like, he doesn't have any skills that I don't have or I can't do. Mm-hmm. I mean, provided he's not like a singer or like, you know, something that requires, you know,
all those dancers you're hanging out with.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's interesting.
Here's an example. Okay, so my brother-in-law's brother. I don't know what the relationship is there.
None.
He didn't know anything about websites. He didn't know anything about selling. The website that he put up looked horrible at the time, but he was making $5,000 a month selling a random product.
Okay.
Right? He didn't advertise at all. Social media wasn't even around at the time.
Yeah.
And he was making all this money. So I was thinking to myself, wait, I can code. I can do all this stuff. And, you know, why shouldn't I be able to do the same thing? He was actually one of the inspirations. He refused to come on the podcast because he didn't want people to know what he was up to. But
gotcha.
He was one of the inspirations, actually.
Interesting. I guess I would agree with you in a sense, in that I think this is where I feel like COVID has really hurt me, is that I think surrounding yourself with people who are entrepreneurs is a huge key to being successful. Because you're constantly motivated by them, or because when like all of my local friends are basically 9-to-5ers, which is fine. It's actually great because then they always are available to hang out on the weekends. But you know, they also don't share the same problems that I share when it comes to work. And I think back when we would see each other every 3 months or every couple months, or I'd see other entrepreneurs, you sometimes get that just boost, right? That little bit of, hey, we're all kind of dealing with the same stuff, and we're all, you know, my problem that seems super overwhelming isn't really that overwhelming because everyone else is dealing with it in a different way. And I think that's really helpful. So I think if you want to move into the entrepreneur space, finding some friends who are entrepreneurs, or also, you know, like whenever I got started in e-commerce, I had like 3 or 4 friends. We were all getting started in e-commerce, and we talked once a week, like a mastermind, right? We talked once a week and shared our issues. And, you know, at that point we were very unfamiliar with importing products, and all of us were having different issues with suppliers and quality. And it was just nice, instead of just being totally alone and discouraged and thinking like, I just don't want to do this anymore. This is too hard. It's not worth it. Where you have someone else go, oh, I had that same problem and this is what worked for me. Right. And I think that made a huge difference in, it didn't make a difference in that, oh, I became so successful because of that. But what it did was help me keep going when things got really crappy.
I mean, I think that's true for me too. But the other thing that keeps me going is the competition factor. Like, I'm not competing with any of these people, but in my mind, I'm always like, okay, well, if he can figure it out, I can figure it out.
Yeah.
That actually keeps me motivated, believe it or not.
Yeah. No, I can see that about you.
Yeah. Or, yeah, just some strategy. And I'm like, that's simple. I can do that.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I might not have tried it if I didn't hear about how successful it was for somebody else.
Right. Because sometimes if you just hear about something, I'm always hesitant. I'm like, oh, is that really what I want to spend my time figuring out? But then when you hear how it works for somebody else, it's much easier to take the plunge.
And I'm going to give some credit to Lars here right now, because Lars is the one who pushed me to sell on Amazon.
Yes, that's right.
And at the time, I was like, why would I do that? And then he just told me his numbers. I was like, okay, fine.
If Lars can do it.
Well, that's actually not what I was thinking with Lars.
No, I know. But, I'm totally joking.
But I was like, oh my God, your numbers are crazy. I should just do this, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's funny because I'll bring up another friend of ours. It's in the Lars friend group is our friend Dana Jean-Zimas.
Yep.
And, you know, her e-commerce businesses and mine could not be more different. But I can remember having some conversations with her, like at an airport waiting for a flight or at, you know, on the tail end of an event. And just hearing her story and her backstory of how she just continued to kind of reinvent her business and what she did, those sorts of things. And it's not because I think, oh, if Dana can do it, I can, because I don't think, I mean, Dana's amazing. I'd like to be half the person she is, right? But I think, you know, it is possible to continue to reinvent yourself and to continue to just completely pivot. And when you see that someone else that you know and is like a normal person is able to do it, it gives you, I think, the confidence that you can do it too.
Yeah. All right. So the last mindset question that I often get is, how fast can I do something? How quickly can I do something? I hate that question. I really hate it. Instead of asking me that question, by the way, which will instantly turn me off, by the way, if anyone ever asked me that question.
Okay, so don't ask Steve that question.
Don't ask me that question. Instead, you should be asking yourself how long you're willing to be consistent with whatever you want to try. Like, are you willing to stick with it for at least 2 or 3 years? Like, for me, it's 5, but...
Yes, I know you have your 5-year.
I have my 5-year thing. It's an arbitrary number. But, yeah. But at least 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because the majority of the time, things don't happen as quickly as you would expect.
Right.
Like, so with the store, I had really low expectations. But for some strange reason, I had really high expectations for the blog.
Even though the beginning, it was kind of dorky.
Right. It was terrible. And for some reason, I thought I was going to start making that money in like a year or less.
Yeah. Because you were reading all the bigwigs back in the day.
I was.
That were hitting their peak when you were getting started. Correct. Like Jim and JD and Trent and all those Ramit.
Yes.
So, yeah.
And I'm glad I stuck with it because I didn't really make real money until 3 years later.
Yeah.
So never ask yourself how quickly, because we mentioned this earlier, it's a trap. Like, if you set yourself some goal that's a little bit unrealistic, you're going to give up after that date.
Yeah.
Like, if I told myself, oh my God, you know, I should be making this amount of money after a year, but I didn't reach that goal. Well, that means maybe I'm not competent enough to do this, or maybe this isn't a good idea after all.
Yeah.
Whereas if you slog through it, I mean, good things can only good things can happen. This is what I think about business in general. Like, if you work at something, mm-hmm. it can only really go up because you're at bottom to begin with, right?
Right. You can't go any lower.
You can't go any lower. It can only go up. And if you just keep doing it as part of like whatever you're doing in everyday life, just make it a routine, like one video a week or one blog post a week. Over time, before you know it, it'll start making money or you'll have built an audience. Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show, and please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.